Welcome to Bible study at New Mercy Baptist Church. This is where you can dig into God's word to get understanding and application. As Pastor Grady always asks, what's the best thing in the world? Understanding. Bible study is a time for understanding how to apply what you've learned to your everyday life. On that note, if you have questions about tonight's teaching or questions about your own personal Bible study time, we encourage you to go to newmercybaptist.org, click on the Contact Us link, and share your questions there. We will respond to as many questions as possible at the next Bible study session. We want you to grow in your foundation with God. In these times, it is important that you are rooted in your faith and not tossed about by life's circumstances. We encourage you to get in God's word, tune in, listen closely, take notes, and enjoy tonight's teaching.
Good evening. Welcome to another Bible study as we spend time in the word of God. We're in the Gospel of Mark chapter 15, and by God's will, we will complete chapter 15 and go right into chapter 16. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do bless your name. We're so thankful for allowing us another opportunity to come into your presence, and we do so with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this Bible study because you're the one we are depending on to lead us into all truth. Let your anointing flow freely and take this word and write it upon our hearts that we can become better doers. And Father, we give you the glory and the praise for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we ended with Jesus being crucified on the cross, and he cried out with a loud voice, and that's where we will pick up today in chapter 15, verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Listen, they didn't take his life. He gave it up. And it says in verse 38, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, acknowledging the fact that Jesus, God the Father, tore open the veil, which allows us to come into God's presence ourselves. We don't need a physical high priest to go and intercede for our sins. Jesus, who is our high priest, is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Verse 39, and when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the less of the Josephs and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And this is where we're picking up today. Now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Now, you need to understand that Joseph was also a part of the Sanhedrin. So he was making a public display of going against what the Sanhedrin was doing when they had Jesus executed through crucifixion. And now the Bible says that Joseph of Arimathea was an honorable man. Amen. He believed that Jesus had to have been God. Come on. He was also waiting for the coming of the kingdom of God, and he recognized that Jesus was that coming, and he came and went in boldly unto Pilate. Now, you just, Pilate in that area was kind of like just walking in the governor's office. You just can't walk in the governor's office. Amen. You have to be allowed to come in. But it shows me that Joseph was a man of wealth and a man of means. And because of his position, Pilate quickly allowed him to come into his presence. Amen. So that meant, that tells me that Joseph had some clout as well. He came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and by going in to Pilate, he was asking or requesting from Pilate that Pilate would give him the body of Jesus. That's what Joseph wanted. He wanted to take the body of Jesus and do a proper burial for him. Amen. In verse 44, and Pilate marveled if that were already dead. When Joseph asked for Pilate for Jesus's body, Pilate couldn't believe that Jesus was dead already, because sometimes it took days for crucifixion, for those that were crucified to actually die. But Jesus, remember now, this was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. And because it was the day before the Sabbath, they couldn't leave any of the bodies up. So the others who were crucified with Jesus, the soldiers broke their legs, amen, so that they could not support themselves and would die quicker from asphyxiation. And they would quickly die because the Sabbath was coming and all of them had to be dead and taken down before the Sabbath. But Jesus, this is earlier, Jesus was already dead because he gave up the ghost. Amen. He said, "Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit." And he breathed his last breath. And it happened so quickly that Pilate couldn't believe he was dead already. So he had to have that verified. Amen. And verse 44, and Pilate marveled if it were already dead, if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, when the centurion verified that Jesus was actually dead, he gave the body to Joseph. It's almost that word gave means as a gift. Amen. He gave the body to Joseph to be properly buried. And he bought, meaning Joseph, bought fine linen, and he took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him on a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. Joseph had such a heart from God, he would not allow Jesus to be buried with the other ones that were crucified. He wouldn't be in a common grave. So Joseph, because of his wealth, had already made preparations for a sepulchre to be constructed for him and his family when his time came, carved out of the side of the rock. When First Lady and I went to Israel, we had an opportunity to see Joseph's grave that Jesus laid in for 3 days, that Jesus borrowed. Amen. We had an opportunity to see that, but the point is that Joseph of Arimathea honored Jesus by giving him a proper burial and had his body wrapped like a proper burial would be, and placed in his own grave. Amen. Verse 46, and he bought fine linen and took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in the sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the other, and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. In other words, they stood afar off to make sure that they knew the exact sepulcher where Jesus was buried, because their intent was to come back after the Sabbath and give him a proper anointing as well. But notice now, when Joseph of Arimathea placed the body of Jesus in the sepulcher, he had the stone rolled in front of it. And this was not just like a door. This was a heavy stone that was rolled in front of it to secure the body of Jesus who was in the sepulcher. And if you remember, Pilate had the rock, the rock that was used as a door to lock Jesus in, sealed to pacify the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they feared that the disciples would come back and steal the body, claiming that he would have raised from the dead like he said. So they made sure, the tomb was guarded as well. But Mary Magdalene in verse 47 and Mary, the mother of Joseph, they stood afar off to see exactly which sepulcher Jesus was placed in. And when the chapter 16, verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now remember, when Joseph put the body of Jesus in the sepulcher, they did a rush job, so to speak, in wrapping him and anointing him for his burial. And that had already taken place. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Salome wanted to do another anointing of his body for emphasis in chapter 16, verse 1. they brought additional spices and that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week. Now, it's now Sunday morning. Amen. And at the crucifixion and burial and resurrection of Jesus, the Sabbath now has changed from Saturday to now we observe Sunday as our Sabbath day. But they came early the first day of the week. They came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" They knew that they did not have the physical strength to be able to roll away the stone. But they were operating out of their emotion, going to the sepulcher, not recognizing, not thinking until that point that they're going to have to deal with the stone being removed in order for them to get to the body of Jesus. Amen. But they were on their way to do that anyway. And when they looked, verse 4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. The problem that they thought they had, had already been removed. Amen. I think about our lives sometimes. You know, if we only knew how God had already worked out stuff for us that we've been worrying about, how it's going to take place. And by the time we get there, Jesus has already dealt with it. In fact, I heard somebody say that 90% of the stuff we worry about ain't going to happen. Amen. And the other 10% already been worked out anyway. So why worry? If you pray, why worry? Amen. Because God already goes ahead of us when our prayers line up with His word. God promises to provide what we need. And what we need to do is focus our attention. Oh, it's so simple, but it went over my head for so many years that all I have to do is focus my attention on being obedient to God with what's right in front of me. Oh, you need to hear that. That's for somebody today. All you have to do is be obedient to God in your next step. And when you get to that thing you were thinking about, it will have already been worked out for you. When we focus our attention on being obedient to God, it's amazing how He already has gone before us to work out the things that we thought we were going to have to deal with. Oh, that must be for somebody. Verse 4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. They were afraid, because when they went and saw the tomb empty, they saw that Jesus was not there. They saw a man who is actually an angel, amen, and standing in a white robe, and they got afraid. And he said to him, if you study scripture, anytime Jesus comes in some supernatural way or God manifests himself through an angel or whatever, it's natural to feel a sense of fear. And when it's of God, he always tells them, be not afraid. This is not something you have to fear. Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. Oh, how many times in my life, and probably yours as well, God has already revealed something to us or told something to us in God's word that we really didn't comprehend. Jesus had already told them, I will be raised from the dead on the third day. Amen. But nobody comprehended the reality of what that meant. Amen. Mary and the other women went expecting to find a dead body. And Jesus had already told them before, on the third day, I will rise again. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Verse 6 says, the angel said to them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. He was here, but he ain't here no more. He's raised from the dead, but he gives them an instruction in verse 7. He said, but go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. Listen, he gave them a charge to go tell the disciples. I find it interesting that not only did he tell them to go tell the disciples, and he specifically says, and Peter. Come on. Because Peter is the one, his ride and die partner. He's the one that will stick with him through thick and thin. Jesus said, if all of them leave you, I'm going to stick with you. So because of the hurt, and the disappointment in himself that Peter felt. Amen. Peter needed a special acknowledgement from God. Have you ever been like that yourself, where you just needed for God to speak to you himself? You need him to send you a word specifically for you. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen. That's why something got to be seriously wrong with me to miss a service or to miss Bible study, because God may send the word that I need. Amen. For a problem that I don't even recognize I have. Come on. And gives me the solution. And if I'm not there, I'm going to miss my own blessing. Amen. That's why I don't want to miss, because I want to hear from God. Amen. I thank God for his logos. I thank God for his written word. But when that word becomes alive to me, that it becomes rhema. He gives me that specific word that I need for the issues in my life. I don't want to be out of place. Amen. And there is revelation. Nothing will take the place of you. Listen to me good now. Nothing will take the place of you studying God's word and laying before the Father for yourself in your private time in God's word. He calls us to do that. But there is some revelation that God will only give through the preaching and teaching of his written word. Come on. So I want to be in place to receive what God has for me. This angel told these women to go and tell the disciples and Peter, amen, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. But listen. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. They ran to do what the angel had told them to do. And they were so focused on taking that word to the disciples, they weren't allowing themselves to be distracted from anything else, the cares of this world or anything else. They were focused on doing what they were told to do. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. And that's the way we need to be as well. When we get a word from God, we need to be focused on doing what that word calls us to do. Because distractions will come at you. Amen. The cares of this world are designed to distract you from doing what God has told you to do. But when we are focused, like these women were focused on doing what they had been instructed to do, we will get the results that we have been looking for in God's word. Let's go just a little while longer. Verse 9. And when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. I find it interesting that when Jesus was raised from the grave, the first person he saw was not a disciple. Come on. It was Mary Magdalene, who 7 demons had been cast out of her. But listen, the word tells us to whom much is given, much is required. Because God had done so much for Mary Magdalene, and out of what he had done for her, she was totally sold out to him. The rest of the disciples left. Boy, they fled after Jesus was crucified. Had no thinking about the aftermath of that. They were only concerned about they coming at us next. Amen. But Mary Magdalene stuck there. Amen. And I find it interesting that she's the first one Jesus, when he returned, revealed himself to. And she went and told, read verse 9 again. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that he had been with him. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. They in this room crying and weeping, and now Mary Magdalene tells them, listen, I've seen him. He came to me. And verse 11 says, and they, when they had heard that he was alive, had been with and had been seen of her, believed not. In their mind, if this is true, if Jesus has truly risen from the grave, amen, if it's true, he would have come to us. I can see them thinking that. Come on. And for him to have shown himself to Mary Magdalene, ain't no way Jesus had risen and done that. He wouldn't have sent her. Amen. He would have come to one of us for us to tell the others. How many of you know God's ways are not like ours? Thank you, Lord. And the things that he does are all designed for a specific purpose. And one of the things he has to deal with all of us on is breaking us of our pride. Come on. These disciples are weeping and crying, scared to death. And now Mary Magdalene is coming to them. After he's already sent, the angel sent the other women to tell them. They didn't believe them. Now Mary Magdalene is telling them, I've seen him. The other women told them what the disciple, what the angel told them to say. But now Mary Magdalene says, I've seen him for myself. Amen. And I'm coming to tell you, he is risen, and I've seen him for myself. And they still didn't believe. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I just got to share this. The same thing happened with Thomas. Come on, we call him Doubting Thomas, but right here it's saying all the disciples doubted. Come on, they didn't believe because they couldn't comprehend that Jesus had risen from the dead, even though Jesus had told them that he would be risen from the dead. And now first, the women run and tell. We went to the grave and he was not there, but we saw an angel and he told us to come and tell you that that Jesus is risen from the grave. And you too, Peter. Amen. He's risen from the grave. Now Mary comes and tells him, I've seen him for myself. And they doubted. Why? Because in their mind, they had already said, if it's true, if Jesus has truly risen from the grave, he would come to us himself. He wouldn't send anybody. And because I don't see him myself, for myself, I'm not going to believe that he is risen. I think we'll stop right there today, but let me just encourage you. Listen, that's where faith comes in. And all of us have faith. But the question is, what is the object or who is the object of your faith? And I submit to you that we need to place our faith in Christ Jesus, who is the Word. So when I place my faith in the Word, I place my faith in Jesus, who is the Word. Listen, and The word tells us that his word shall not return to him void, but it's going to accomplish the thing for which he sent it. And if you're listening to me today and you've been desiring to know more about the word, but you haven't come to a point where you've accepted the word, you're still doubting, let me just encourage you. Don't let doubt keep you out. Just like he came to Mary, he wants to come to you. But you have to put your faith in what it says. The word tells us that they are none righteous. The enemy has deceived so many people into thinking that they're not good enough yet. Some things they got to get right themselves before coming to Christ. Listen, everything you could get right on your own, you've been got right. But there's so much else has to be done, but you can't do it. The word said we all have sinned and coming short. So if you're trying to wait till you quit sinning, you're going to miss out. Because all of us still mess up, even those of us in Christ. Amen. The difference is our sins have already been paid for and atoned. That doesn't give us a license. We'll talk about that another time. Amen. Because the word tells us who are saved and still continue to sin, despise not the chastening of the Lord. For whom he loves, he's going to straighten it. Amen. But the point is, if you have been deceived into waiting for another time, wait till tomorrow, today is your day of salvation. If you feel something stirring, it's called conviction. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. And all you have to do is receive the gift. If that's you, just repeat after me. Father, I come before you today recognizing that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. But I thank you that you love me so much that you allowed your son Jesus to pay my sin debt. Jesus, come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit that I may accomplish the purpose for which you saved me. I commit the rest of my life to you. I thank you for my salvation and I receive it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. God keep you. It's out.
Thank you for tuning in to tonight's Bible study. If you accepted Christ tonight, welcome to the kingdom of God. We are rejoicing with heaven over your decision. Remember, if you have a question about tonight's teaching or your own personal Bible study time, we would love to answer them and help you on your spiritual journey. Be sure to visit newmercybaptist.org or follow us on Facebook or subscribe to our YouTube channel to stay connected. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Until next time, be blessed.